Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Now, in taking new territories, you have to identify, you need to first of all know that that territory is new to you. It's not new to some other people. The territory the Lord is giving to you is new to you. It's not new to some. Some people are the masters there. So you see the Lord talk about Canaan. The Lord spoke about Canaan, but some people are living in Canaan. Are you with me? So it's a new territory for you. For some others, it's not. What is good about the story is how God is going to deliver it into your hands. So every new territory has strongholds. And please note, every new territory has what? Strongholds. And every stronghold has a strong man. Every territory has a stronghold. And every stronghold has a strong man. So you need to receive clear, direct, spiritual instruction, which will not make sense anyway. The stronghold of Jericho was the wall. But it was not just the wall. The wall was a physical representation of the spiritual darkness that covered that land, that was so thick that no other force could break it down. So you go to a place like Lagos Island, and you find that an average person who grows up in Lagos Island is wayward. Are you with me? Who knows what I'm talking about? The average Eko boys, you know, Eko people. Almost every shop there is a brothel. Who knows what I'm talking about? You find people, they just loaf around. It's not that there are schools there. It's not education. We are talking about illumination. There's no illumination. There's education, but no illumination. You see people playing lottery. What's that thing they play? Sport betting. Babai Jebu. It makes more sense than going to school. It is the strong goal, the strong man in the area, that determines the course of this world for them. So you don't go there and say, it's not good to play sport betting. You are risking your life. No. You have to find out where the altar is. When Paul got into Ephesus, he went for Diana straight. He didn't go. You need to understand these are spiritual things. These are not doctrinal things. They are spiritual things. Hear me. There's a difference. There's a difference between spiritual things and doctrinal things. You are not the one in bondage. But where God is sending you to, if you don't see them as people that need you, you cannot help them. It is the realization or the revelation that these people need what you carry that will make you go in and break the statue of Diana. But did you realize that Paul did not live without his car? Paul suffered. When he got there and he raised the prophetic cry against Diana, the people saw and said, this one, he wants to tamper with the source of our livelihood. Do you know how many people live on Baba Jebu in Lagos Island? Do you know how much people make by just prostituting and collecting 2,000, 3,000? Do you know how many people work into, for those of you who work in a bank on the island, do you know how many of these young girls come to your office to collect Western Union from some of these white men who just come around and then send money to them from Europe? They don't look at you, they laugh. Now you go school. Now money all of us, they find. Yeah. Some of them in the bank here will still be asking you, that my friend likes you. Can you give her a number? Can you give her your number? Because it's business. You go and work, bring the money. It's a spirit of the age. It is, if you are living in Lagos Island, you need to take a definite stance. If not, you will just find yourself doing the same thing. It is the spirit, that stronghold, that creates the atmosphere in that place. Just notice everybody is thinking the same direction. So Jesus said, and I want to read. Please note, Jesus said, before you crucify me, note it was Jesus who said. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29. Quickly. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 29. There are some things I can argue about, but when I see that Jesus has said it, there's nothing to talk about again. Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Verse 29. Or else, let me ask you, tell me another way you can enter into a strong man's house and take ownership of his goods. Except you first what? You first what? Does that sound like warfare? Hello? Does that sound like warfare? It sounds like playing video game. He said, except you bind the strong man, close combat. And then you can spoil. Spoil them means take everything that is yours. Now, this is Jesus. And now I wish this scripture is not in the Bible, so that I can preach what I like, but it's there. And you can't, if you clean it from your Bible, it's in my own Bible. It's there. Verse 29. To take ownership of your new territory, you must identify who your real enemies are. The people you see first when you get into Canaan, they are not your real enemies. They are foot soldiers. You must understand who the real spirit is. You must understand where the altar is. If not, you can't take anything. No. They'll be the one taking you. So Jesus said, there's that scripture, I think it's in, is it 2 Corinthians 10 that talks about pulling down strongholds? Please get me that scripture. I think it should be 2 Corinthians 10. Do we have chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians? Let me find it. Chapter 10, right? Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They are not carnal. They are not cleverly instituted weapons. They are not logical. That's the meaning of carnal. They are not principles. The weapons of our warfare, they are not things any man can carry. You can't just carry it simply because you went to Harvard. You can't just carry these weapons because you know book or you read book. The weapons of our warfare. So even God admits that we are in a warfare. So it's not enough to know your enemy, you must know your weapons. To know your weapons means you know how to use it without assistance. When you get to a new office and they take you through training and tell you this is how to do it, this is how to do it, this is how to do it, initially it's a bit confusing. But as you start doing little by little, sometimes even without thinking, you just press the button. And you know the thing will answer you. You are not praying and fasting. When we deployed the new software in my office, everybody carry notebook. When I had a colleague who said, me, I learned, I have another way of life. I said, wait, right. Right. I don't know where you are coming from. Right. It's a new software. We are all learning. Then my boss said, hey, go ahead, Padre. I said, is it not the same notebook? Is it not the same material? Do I know it? I asked my, I said, do I know it? I said, are we not learning? So one that cannot write, and me, I'm writing. I should work for, I said, Kojo. Kojo. Then he said to me, he said, is that why you pull your input in that? I said, yes. I need to remain like that. He said, we need to work as a team. I said, I'm not interested in working as a team. I said, if I'm stupid enough to write ABC and you are smart enough not to write, I wish you good luck. He said, we have to learn to manage people. I said, you. Me, I don't manage people. He said, so what are you going to do? I said, you are the boss. Yeah, okay. We have done so much. So I asked my guy a question. I said, when we have something urgent to do, and you tell me we'll stay back this night, can you tell any of them to stay back? And you will not be afraid. Because you know they won't stay. I said, but why can't you tell me that? Because you know you get the job done. I said, let's stop rubbing these people's head. Everybody's collecting salary. Yes, sir. Thank you. But if you don't know what to do, you can't talk like that or you get query. To know how to take your territory, you must know your enemy. Number one, you must know the weapons. Number two, three, you must know how to use them. When you hold the word of God, you do know what to do with it. What is your posture and response? Is it the posture of fear? Hey, my God, only you can help me. If you don't move now, I'm believing you. I know you will do it. That you know you do it. You are just hoping that whether by mistake or by error or by commission or by omission, God will do, the line will just break through and God will just pick your call. Hello, hello, hello. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Ah, I'm coming. I'll send Michael. I'll send Gabriel. I'll send Ure. I'll send Moroni. I'll send Kujaska. They'll come and help you now. Wait. Hey, where's Moroni? He's not around. Gabriel, he went to Nigeria. This was that. Well, there's no angel on ground though. Just stay alive. Huh? I'm coming. Well, we'll send some. Who is there? Say, brother, shall we? Ah. And then they go leave. Ah, wala. Whoa. Use the word. Use the word. I don't know how to use that. Ah, wala de. What are we going to do now? He said, I don't know, Father. Just help me have mercy. He said, it's not mercy. There's nobody to send. Use the word. Use the word. Say, hey, speak it. Say, I'm speaking. Say, hey. Some of you will be surprised how funny God is. Jesus said that when you want to take a new territory, when you are looking at this next phase in your life or your business or your marriage, whatever it is you are looking at that the Lord is putting in front of you, don't expect the land to be without giants. Don't expect it. You'll be deceiving yourself. Don't think you will just walk in. They say, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. We have been waiting for you. You know, that's why we are all here. That's why I'm still in this country. Because I went to the embassy. They told me they've been waiting for. Who knows you? There's a level you get to in taking territories. When they mention your name, you will hear, Paul, I know. Yeah. Paul has never met those demons before. But they knew him. Yeah. They've discussed about him. Yeah. His pedigree. Yeah. It's not degree. His pedigree. You would have broken territory. Paul was always going to places where Jesus was not named. And he would break those ground. Break those ground. So they knew him. He's not like Peter. Paul, what was reporting in Galatians? I said, well, okay. Hey, okay. We are praying for you here. We are praying for you here. Say, nobody talk about Peter. The next time we heard about Peter in the books, the two books, he said, the Lord has revealed to me that I'm about to put away my mortal body. Peter just wants to die and go to heaven. But you see, Paul, he will say, if I live, it's for your benefit. If I die, it's gain. Since I'm alive, let's march on. They stoned him. Preach. And they say, they check him. Preach. You don't die. Okay, labor. And he got up. We have an idiot. Just discussing problem everywhere. Timothy, Alpha. Alpha, where are we?
Second service.
Paul was a Pharisee. He was a professor. At some point, he prayed. God said, this one is not prayer. Enter basket. Then they took a professor, squeezed him into a basket, dropped him from the top. You must have heavenly insight and technology. Because when God tells you to do something, many times they'll be stupid. A professor that will come down and say, arrest everybody. Then now, they roll him like carpet, put inside basket. They were now to say, Oga, no move. Don't mad me. Don't breathe. Just stay there. 3 more steps. My, don't cut this rope. Easy. Well, how are you? You're sweating. So you are clean. Let's go. Let's go. They have followed the other side. And then Paul will show you. You will think it was fear, but it was strategy. Yes. Only for him to enter the city where Diana is and say, hey, come by, I come to declare something. You say, ah, this boy again. The same Paul that was a terror in the kingdom to the kingdom of God. God used him exactly the same way to terrorize Satan. Anywhere it goes for the principality. Don't make a fool of yourself. Why do you think every church that is in Lekki, they do concert, do comedy? It is the spirit of entertainment rules them. So if you are not careful, you will be responding to the atmosphere and think you are winning souls. You stop the entertainment, the church will be empty the next day. I say you say you are going to take territory, they will take you. You need to know the enemies you are dealing with, that these enemies are not smiling. So outside, I say, good morning, sir. You're welcome to Compliance Care International. We're here to serve you and to make your dreams come true. But in the spirit, you are a warrior. If you don't know how to pray, they will take you. How do you take strongholds? You must be resilient in prayers. Number one, it is the spirit of God that will reveal to you the kind of things you are dealing with. You may think it is this thing, and God says it's not that thing. This, even this one has something behind it. You say, hey. How do you take that journey in faith if your spiritual eyes are not open? And let me say this thing. Let me say this about visions and revelations. For you to be strong and accurate, you must be free from your emotions. If not, your visions will be clouded. Many times we are seeing stuff. We are seeing stuff. I never try to interpret a dream or a vision immediately I wake up. I never tried. Because many times my emotions are very heightened. Very heightened. I had a vision, was it Sunday night? Last Sunday night. You know, I told you I've been seeing things back to back. Sunday night, when I thought I would be seeing angels. And God is appreciating me for the service. Amen. I had a vision and I saw myself going to my office. My office where the area where I started my banking career around Ajose Adeogu, Zenith head office. And I was driving a big bus filled with people, everybody in my office, as in people who work in my office. And I was the driver. And then I got to a point in front of Zenith head office as though there was a slight pothole. So I slowed the bus down. Now, I've never driven a bus in my life. I slowed down, and as I went into that small portal, a powerful force took me from the steering, took me out of the vehicle, placed me on the main road, and the bus continued to drive itself off. So I was running after the bus. Like, these people, they will die, yo. These people. I didn't see the bus again. By the time I saw where the bus was, there was an accident. People had died. People were injured, seriously injured. Nobody in my office, my particular office, was affected. But I saw them trying to help other people. Got to the office Monday morning. Head started rolling. As I speak to you, there's a massive cleanup. 45% of all staff will go home. I say, Initially, I was thinking, is this judgment on my life? People are working on the system. Bah, 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 bah. System just locks automatically. And they call your boss from head office. Say, Michelle, can you come please? Please sit here. I need to say something, but just hold on. He's waiting for your letter to enter. Whatever you want to do bank work and die there. Some of my friends who have labored for 10 years were laid off. Guess the reason for sacking them? Say they were not promoted. Will I walk somewhere and tell you not to promote me? As if, do I wish myself not to be promoted? Say you are not promoted. That means you are not productive. Uri, you are not productive. It's me, I will tell me that I'm coming 7 days a week. I'm not productive. There's a tsunami going on. The Bible says the righteous man sees danger and what? If you don't know how to use revelation, you'll be seeing things in the spirit and you will still be a victim. Don't let me dwell too long on this. Say with me, Father, open my eyes. Father, open my ears. Father, give me understanding. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing, but in all your getting, what do you get? Understanding. Understanding is a prophetic dimension of the discerning of spirits. Leave it. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3, I think. Quickly. My time is up. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I, the Lord, will give to you. Now, in prophetic warfare and dealing with strongholds, you must understand prophetic posture. That there are certain things you will do and can do. It will look stupid. But God says, as you are doing it, I'm approving it. As you are doing it, I'm marking it. As you are doing it, I'm saying yes. God said to, excuse me, do you realize that the number of times the Lord said to Joshua, I am with you. I am with you. Fear not. My brother, when you are stepping into a big shoe like the one that Moses left, God needs to be encouraging you. If not, they'll just wake up and notice Joshua and his family have run away. You don't understand? You don't know who Moses is. Let me tell you who Moses is. Moses is a man that would have died. And God renewed his youth at the age of 80. Gave him a ministry. Moses is the perfect picture of a comeback. A perfect comeback. When a man has resigned to faith that my life can nothing can ever amount to my life. And God says, I want to start your life afresh. I know you killed somebody. I know you messed up. I know you finished yourself. He said, but I'm going to give you a comeback. And your later years will be better than... Oh, you don't know who Moses is. Moses is the kind of guy that stands in front of the Red Sea and looks back and sees the enemy coming. And then he uses the weapon that is the symbol of his flight from Egypt. That thing that he ran away with, he couldn't leave with his certificate, but he left with a rod. God said, that thing in your hand, that thing that reminds you of your past, is what I will use. I will use to mark you and separate you. Because when God was going to call him, he asked him, he said, what is in your hand? He said, I have a rod. He said, throw it to the ground. He said, this is the symbol of your redemption. You are trying to hide your past. You are trying to, you don't want people to see how your life has been terrible. God said, that is the symbol of your authority. That is why many of us come to Christ. But we cannot operate in dominion because you are hiding. You are hiding in the dark. You don't want people to see that you've been a prostitute. You don't want people to see that you've been bad. You've aborted. You've killed somebody before. You've done stuff that people, God said, until you come out. That rod is the symbol of your strength. When God was going to open the sea, he demanded for the symbol of Moses' past.
Yes.
Symbol of your past. That is where your redemption and your forgiveness is. I thought God would just forgive me and tell me to throw away the stick. He said, keep it. You are going back with that stick into Egypt. They will remember the stick because they know that was the thing you took away. Whatever you do, that stick must not be missing. He said, because it is thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Are you hearing me? It's the same stick. Every time you want to give up, you will look at this rod again and remember that, this was where I was coming from. This is the picture of where I'm coming from. You look at where you are. They said I will not marry, but here I am. Now, the devil is saying, there's something, I cannot have a child. If God could take me through the wilderness and bring me to this place, and I met Zipporah, he said, then I know that there's yet another phase of my life that I'll come into on the strength of my journey, where I'm coming from. God didn't use anything that he had not given to you before. God will not use anything he has not given to you before. You need to be smart and see the weapons that have been given to you by heaven. Many of the times, there are the things that you have despised. There are the things you are trying to hide from people. You don't want people to know that you've been like that. You don't want people to know that you've been in a situation before and you are the one asking the guy to have sex with you. But it's supposed to be the other way. Right? You don't want people to feel like you are that cheap or something. You don't. Oga. That's symbol of your strength. Because under certain circumstances, we are all the same. Yeah. You don't know who Moses is. It was that same rod that he pointed. One part of it faced the Red Sea. The other part faced the armies. He didn't say anything. He only stood on the strength of his past journey with God and pointed it. The thing that was in front of him, parted. The thing behind him, perished. So when you ask a Joshua to come and say, Baba, I can walk with anybody, you can choose anybody. And you will know, and you will remember, that when God called the 70 elders, Joshua was not part of them. I would think that if there was going to be a replacement, he should have been selected from among the 70 who already carried a part of his spirit. You don't know God. You don't know God. God will be preparing a usher to take over a church, and he will keep the usher there, welcoming everybody. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. When it's time for that usher to become the pastor, even the pastor can't stand against it. Moses took of his spirit, placed upon the 70. He didn't place upon Joshua. He told Joshua, follow me to where I'm getting it from. Direct. He never said anything to Joshua about taking over. He just told him, stay with me. Elisha, stay with me. If you can see me when I'm taking, stay with me. What you were talking about, don't worry. Just make sure you are here. Just make sure you don't sleep. If you sleep and the chariot take me, it's over. Oh. This is not the time you'll be feeling sleepy. Oh. This night I say, the spirit is weak, flesh is weak. Let your flesh be strong. Go. Let your flesh be strong. Go. Shut that phone down. Because if you are not, if you don't see me in the twinkle of an eye, if you don't see me when I'm taking, that thing cannot fall. Even if you see the garment drop and you pick it, but if you don't see me, it will not transfer. You can carry dead clothes. You can carry ordinary clothes. You must see me. It's in the eyes. It's in the eyes. Moses, Abraham, how far can you see? How far can you see? As long as you can see, I will give to you. It's in the sight, oh. 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 It's in the sight. You've got to see. That second matters. So when you come face to face and you are, you know, facing the enemy that has been revealed to you, you are doing it on the strength of where you are coming from. It's not you. Who is this that defies the army of the Lord? That's what David said. This is uncircumcised Philistine. If David go and tried before, that thing he said, if he tried on another day, he will eat his yam normal tuba. He will be eating it without being cooked. Resilient prayers. But look at this. God gave him a posture. Anytime you go into a new city, remove your shoes. Anytime you get into a new office, remove your shoes. Anytime you are trying to secure your marriage, maybe you feel that there's a threat to your marriage, remove your shoes and stand in your home and say, anywhere that my feet is a touchdown for divinity. My foot is a touchdown for heaven's government. And my foot, everywhere I touch, I declare heaven's ownership over that place. I take my marriage back. I take my job back. I take my business back. You begin to declare, because your foot makes contact to the earth. It's a posture. It's not something religious. It's a posture. If you don't know it, you may just be stranded. And this is New Testament. When Jesus was going to press into that phase of just going to the cross, he realized that he needed a mountain and he needed to be alone, but he needed prayer support. For once, Jesus needed people to pray with him and for him. Unfortunately, our brethren slept. It seems to me that there's a connection between sleep and losing your destiny. There's a deep connection between losing your destiny and sleep. Because every time God is encouraging Joshua, be of a good cheer, be courageous. Because he knows this one. He has accepted the offer, but he can still run away. So he's encouraging. You're whining him. You can do it. You can do it, Joshua. As I was with Moses, I'm with you. But God didn't give Joshua a rod. So in his mind, he's thinking the rod. When he died, we didn't remember to take it away. He said, even the rod is not there, I'll move him and the rod to heaven. Can we go back and get it? Mechon. He's dead. What's beside you? And he looked. Say, it's my sword. Say, bring it out. Your weapon has always been with you. Your husband has always been with you. You are the one who you are look. You are so covered with the glory of Moses. You are not even seeing nothing anymore. He said, the weapon I'm going to you, I have already given it to you. He said, all I need to do is anoint it. That's all. He said, what do you have with you? He said, it's a sword. He said, this one. The rod is the symbol of the law. The sword of the Spirit is a symbol of the New Testament. I give you the word. What God put in Joshua's hand was the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Say your operation will be different from the law. Because this one, there we need rules and commandments. You will advance forcefully. Forcefully. There was no city that Joshua entered into. He experienced the miraculous. In fact, in one of his journeys, the waters went down again. And he didn't have to. He spoke into the sun. All the planetary bodies stood still. That's Joshua. He knows his weapon. He knows that weapon is not just a sword that they are doing shine shine. He knows that weapon. It's a symbol of an eternal representation, which is the word of God. Know your weapon. Know your weapon. Some of you know that no matter what you are facing, if you enter into 3 days fasting and shut your door and don't see the sun and you begin to pray and pray, you will get a victory note. You know. You are not listening to people who talk down fasting and prayer. Hey. There are people who I know. There's a man of God I know. There's a man of God I know. I ask him, I say, Pastor Sam, how do you do this thing? He says, it is God. I say, you are lying. It's not God. So I went to live with him. Pastor Sam was single. Every night, he does VG. Every night. Every night. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to say, you are going away. He says, I say, man of God. He just fine. I know he's tired. Ah. I say, boy, I'm too love you, shall I? You know, I'm just looking at him. Every night, VG. I say, know your weapon. Some of you, you didn't just become someone that knows how to pray. It was the thing that was pursuing you that turned you to prayer warrior. It was the thing pursuing you that, hey, I won't die here. Oluwa, 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 Oluwa. Even now that God has done it, you notice when you pray, it's still Oluwa, 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 Oluwa. Don't stop, oh. Hey. He say, hey, they never worry you. When they begin to pursue you, you will know that the devil doesn't speak British English. Let's begin to mind $5,000. You know what gave you the spirit of prayer? That it is challenge. When you looked at your dad and you looked at your mom and you looked at your family, you knew that, oh boy, if I no get up on top of this matter, things will get bad. Even when I say, in Jesus' name I pray, the next prayer point will meet you there. Know your weapon. Many of the things that you are now despising were the things that were supposed to be your sword, the sword of Joshua for the future. But you thought you outgrew them. You thought. You must be resilient in spirit. You must be resilient in spirit. You must know your weapon. The enemies that Moses will fight are not the same enemies Joshua will fight. You have to know your weapons. You must know the place of corporate prayers. I'm talking about taking territories. In your assignment, God will never send you out alone. He will always give you one or two people that will go with you. You must know the power of praying with those people. Don't just carry the vision and want to be a super champion. No, learn how to pray corporate prayers. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Acts chapter 4. Quickly. I don't know if anybody's getting something. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. Verse 24. And when they heard that, who lifted? The company lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So you look at this company of, say, 20, 30 people. They took the report to God together. It wasn't one person saying, we are going to pray like this. They heard the report. Then together, that thunderous eruption of intercession. There's no time we'll close. It's when we get the victory note. Some of you, we need to leave this service. Come and give me your wristwatch. Because you don't need it again. Are you hearing me? That watch is putting you in problem. Set the time on your... Scatter the time on your handset. Because that thing is confusing you. Only looking at time. Always looking at time. You are not achieving anything. You are looking at time. It's not the one that when you pray, somebody will say, Round up. We have leaders meeting. You don't know how terrible the matter is. That's why you are doing like this. If it's doing me as it is doing you, you just pray like a lunatic. Don't pray anywhere that you feel compressed to be organized. Stay away from there. When you do the prayer in secret, the Bible says, the Lord who sees what you do in secret will reward you in the open. Stay away from all this psychedelic. It's not Christianity. I know we are the righteousness of God. But the Bible says Jesus prayed with great utterance and cries. So just will be praying. I said, sir, you are the son of God. Sir, don't, anytime you do this, you embarrass us. You know, we don't cry. We don't cry. We'll put our hands in our pocket and stroke. The Bible says with great weeping. And the Bible says he was heard because he feared. He had godly fear. He had godly reverence. He didn't say because he was the son of God. The way he came and said, if you don't move, nothing will happen. If you don't touch them, nothing will happen. Oh, Maraca. The way she said, Peter, how far now? How far, Peter? John, how far? Sorry, I had to go pray last night. My Jesus, this Jesus, that's the way he prays with crying. The Bible says, strong crying. When he's crying here, they will hear in the other street. You don't know crying is a weapon. Crying is not a sign of weakness. It depends on what you are using it for. It depends on what you use your crying for. So my own Jesus, we need to go very fast. When he's crying, it's the echoes you'll be hearing. The place of corporate prayers. The Bible says, go back to that scripture quickly. My time is up. And then they prayed, Lord, thou art God, which has made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them is, verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? This is where warfare starts from. Go ahead. 27. 26. The kings, go ahead, go back. 26. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. Go ahead. For of a truth against thy only child Jesus, whom thou was anointed, both Herod, and you see the warfare that Jesus fought. They were reminding God of the warfare even Jesus went through. And Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. 29. And now, O God, behold their threatenings, and give unto your servants. Can you see the request? Some of you pray, you don't make requests. You talk about the problem. But you don't end up saying nothing. Because you are afraid that God will disappoint. Because you remember, you have a list of prayer points that you know God didn't answer. So you talk about the problem and hope God understands and he shows up. After all the yebala, erakato, shidrasa kabadea, alaba, and now, oh God! This is what we are saying now. This is the summary of the matter. Behold their threatenings. You know me, now fisherman. I don't get anybody for soldier. I don't get anybody for navy. Behold their threatenings and give to us your servants that with boldness we may what? Speak your word. Then he asked for protection. I thought they were asked for protection. He said that they may speak the word, verse 30. By stretching forth thy hands to heal. Every time the opposition rises, let the healing power double. And that signs and wonders, let the sun be turned to moon. Let there be supernatural manifestation. Let my shadow heal the sick. When they are still confused, asking what is going on. Hey! Brr, it is the people that arise out of wheelchair that will rise and protect me. Can anybody argue with result?
Yes. Yes.
You will still need to go and study the result before you can bring your own argument. Before you argue, you must study it. And that wonders may be done by the name of your holy son, Jesus. 31. And when they had prayed, God didn't speak. God gave them a sign. Watch out for your signs. Watch out for your signs. Sometimes we pray so hard, we forget the signs. Watch out. God just give you one nudge somewhere by your ears. And look, that's me. I'm here. Say, and the place, oh, Gubanakaya, the place was shaking. Shaking, the kind of shaking when Isaiah saw the Lord and the temple was shaking. God gave them a sign. He said, and the place was shaking. I thought God just wanted to break the building down, and then he filled them with the Holy Ghost. He said, you want boldness? What you need is the Holy Ghost. You want boldness? You want signs and wonders? What you need is the Holy Ghost. You want me to step up your level? What you need is the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of the Father. He understands the will of the Father. He understands even what you are saying that you are not saying properly. So what you need is not just boldness. You need the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, they began to speak the word of God. They were filled with boldness. Rabbar. They said, at that level, when you begin to pray, you are praying out of victory. You know there's a victory note. God has given you a sound in your spirit. And then you begin to magnify the Lord. Then the prayer enters a new gear. It enters a new gear of victory. And you know that you are already blessing God. And you are magnifying God. And then you begin to bless Him, begin to bless Him, begin to bless Him. But all of this happens in corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. You must know the power of God. I'm talking about taking territories. You dismantle the devil at every level. Don't just go on a solo run. Don't go on a solo run. Don't go on a solo run. Don't go on a solo run. We are not looking for lone champions. Don't go on a solo run. Take a step alone, then go with your company. Don't go alone. Because one will chase 1,000. In case there are more, two will chase 10,000. So how many will three chase? How many with riches? If one is 1,000 and two is 10, so three will be 100,000 and four, 1 million and five. Peradventure, God has given you just five men. See the strength you leverage on. See the strength you are leveraging on. The force of 10 of 1 million. You don't know, but God knows. The devil is hoping you don't know. Don't run alone. Don't run solo. When you are facing a problem, hold the hands of your wife, if you are married, or stand in a place together and pray, knowing that you have pulled on the resources of heaven by 10,000 men. If you are not married, look for a prayer partner. I want us to pray together. Don't run solo. Don't run. People have suffered unnecessarily. Running solo. Quickly, I need to close. I wish I could talk to you about secret prayers, but I my time is up. But I don't really have so much time. I need to rush. Taking new territories, Leviticus chapter 9. I will still go back to prayer and close there. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 23. Quickly. And Moses and Aaron, look at this. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. The moment he began to bless the people, the glory of the Lord appeared. You see, when I say to you that turn to your neighbor and say, and bless them, this is what we are talking about. The man begins to bless them. He said, the glory of the Lord appeared to you, verse 24. And there came a fire. Look at that. The glory of the Lord was revealed. And then they rose a fire out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the altar, the offering and the fat. And when the people saw this, they did what? 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 When they saw the manifestation of the presence of God, what did they do? They shouted. They shouted. They shouted. There is a shouting dimension to your warfare. It is directly tied to your sight. Most times you can't shout unless you have seen something. When you are in a football pitch and you see the ball go from a particular corner and goes in, you follow the ball and shout. Your shouting is tied to revelation. Your shouting is tied to what you can see. People don't just shout rubbish. You've got to be seeing something that others are not seeing to trigger that dimension. When the people saw the glory of God and they saw fire arose without anybody using matches, consumed their sacrifice. They were properly taught. You see this issue of shouting? It wasn't Joshua that started it. Somebody taught them. You look at all your enemies, all those seeking your life, all those seeking to pull you down, and then you shout! Hallelujah. And like the walls of Jericho, you've got to have eyes in the spirit to see it. You've got to have eyes in the spirit to see it. You have to have eyes in the spirit to see this. You can't walk with God and keep your senses. You can't walk with God and keep your senses. You can't walk with God and keep your senses. You look at someone like Papa Devon staying there in Kaduna like that. You think he shouldn't leave that place. But there are certain things he has seen in God. He knows that it is only where God keeps him that he's safe. During the Biafra War, one man ran away with his family from Anambra, ran to Ekiti State, changed his children's name to Yoruba names, changed his own name, and said, from today, we have no ties with the Igbo race again. Years after, the man's grandson came to Auchi. He was dealing with certain problems, and then I saw Prophet Suleiman ministering to him, and the man said, your name is Soso, you know, call this Yoruba name. He said, yes, and this is your age is this. He said, yes. He said, and you are from Anambra. He said, sir, from my name, you will know I'm a Yoruba man. I'm from Ekiti. He said, no, you are from Anambra. And then he mentioned his local government. He said, sir, everything you said is true, sir. I don't, not to be disrespectful, but this, I'm not from the East. He said, call your father. Prophet Suleiman said, I've gotten to a point that I can be arguing your destiny with you. Because I'm sure. He said, but I didn't start like that. So don't envy me. Just pay your own price. The man called his dad there. He said, Papa, I'm in Auchi. I came to pray. Papa, are we from Anambra State? The man said, yes. He said, Papa, you never told me. He said, it was our grandfather, it's not me. My own father was the one during the civil war. He said, eh. Say, sir, where was our local government? He mentioned. The man passed out. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. There are certain warfares in your life. It is revelation that will trigger your response. Even when you see people like Joshua shouting, ah! I like this pastor. But anytime I start shouting, I hate him. Because it becomes very ugly. Wait for the result. That every phase of your life that the Lord is showing you is going to bring you to, you have secured it in the spiritual first. Every other thing that is happening naturally is just a consequence of what you have taken in the spiritual. Wise men know this. Spiritual men know this. Whether they are on the evil side or on the good side, they know this. That there is nothing material that you must get it first in the spiritual. Go and learn how to shout. Shout till you lose your voice. My time is up. Let me just say one more thing on prayer and then I close. Can I undo this? John chapter 16. Lord, help me quickly. John chapter 16, verse 21. God help me. One of the challenges we make when praying is that we pray to Jesus. Jesus never asked us to pray to him. Verse 21, I think. 21. A woman, when she is in travail, at sorrow, because her hour has come. Are you seeing something about prayer and travail? Before Zion traveled, she brought forth. Traveling is the physical description of bringing to birth spiritually. And that's why the Bible talks about groanings that cannot be uttered. Not that they cannot be uttered, but it doesn't make sense to you. They're actually utterances, but it's just that you will not understand. He said, but as soon as he's delivered of the child, she doesn't remember anguish. You see, I said to you that joy is the signal that you are broken through in the spirit. Because she remembered no more anguish for joy that a man is now born into the womb. She looks at the baby, the result of her travail, and it's worth it. Verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall what? Shall rejoice. And your joy no man can take from you. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 23. And in that day that I reveal your joy. In that day that I reveal your joy, you shall ask me nothing. But verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask, ask the Father in my name. Jesus didn't ask you to pray to him. Many times we get the equation wrong. So your prayers are entering. There's something we call enter status on Finacle. Don't worry, man. You don't know that. I don't even know how to describe this one. Enter status is when you post a transaction and it's hanging, but they've not authorized it. If someone is crediting 100,000 or 1 million and your supervisor needs to authorize that transaction for it to drop. So if the person who has the money goes to his ATM to check, he will see the money showing on top, but he cannot withdraw it. So it's a promise that there's something that is hanging in your account, but they need to do something. So sometimes my tellers will call me, that customer is calling, that transaction, I'll just press a code, S-D-D-B-T-T-O-T, enter, go and check again. Ah, sir, here is the hair withdrawal. I said, don't worry. Thank God. Thank God. The first thing I did something, I'm just laughing. I only authorized the transaction. Ah, sir, thank you. Now, if you have a transaction on enter status, and you go home and it's not authorized, well, you know what will happen when the person comes in the morning? Say, you're a thief, where's my money? Actually, you posted it, but it wasn't authorized. So you pray till heaven tells you we have authorized. Just because you receive a promise that it has been done, pray till there's an outbreak of joy. That's your alert. Say, I didn't wait for, I don't see alert. When I say the prayer, but I don't see alert. You don't alert me now. You don't alert me. That's your alert. That's your alert, brother. Joy in the spirit. You can't manufacture that kind of joy. If you get it in the place of prayer, you will know. You can't cook it up and say, I'm happy now. Over. You are deceiving yourself. You will put sometimes when I'm praying and I'm tired, I just say, Father, I believe I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. I say, Baba, I shall buy me. Say, I don't tire. I won't come out. So I know how many of us pray sometimes because that's how I pray. I just use Ruru to have, thank you, Yadi. Even before we pray, you have already answered us. He says, are you serious, yeah? I said, Baba, I beg, I don't tire. This morning, I just like, just do it. Tomorrow, we're going to pray. Just do this one first. You know? And you'll be surprised how God can enjoy a good joke. He said, whatsoever I shall define my name, you give it to verse 24. Hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Till your joy is full. That. I remember in those days when we go to prayer meeting in our old church, say, pray till your joy is full. Pray till your joy. We'll not be praying. We are tired. We start going one. It's not pray till your joy is full. Pray till is a posture of hope without possibility of answer. But when you pray, you know that the result is that your joy will be full. That means you will get your request. Hallelujah. So we know that we are more than conquerors. It's not, we are coming from a posture of victory, from as overcomers. We are not thinking what God will say. We know whatever God says is in our best interest. We already know, but we need to pray it through so that heaven and earth can agree. Are you blessed this morning? Rise to your feet. Taking new territory.